Our first scripture reading this morning is Psalm 133, which can be found on page 539 in your pew Bibles if you'd like to follow along. How wonderful, how beautiful when God's people live life together. It's like costly anointing oil flowing down head and beard, flowing down Aaron's beard, flowing down the collar of his priestly robes. It's like the dew on Mount Hermon, flowing down the slopes of Zion. Yes, community, that's where God commands the blessing, ordains eternal life. Amen.
For our gospel reading this morning, we have a change in scripture. Sometimes the Holy Spirit moves and moves after the bulletin is printed. So I don't know the page number for this, but it's a short and sweet verse. You can just keep your ears open and listen. From Matthew chapter 18, verse 20, Jesus said, "Where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them." Will you pray with me? Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. It is so good to look out and see all of your faces this morning. Back from our various travels and summer schedules, reunited in community. I almost didn't get robed on time this morning because I was stopping to talk to everyone that had come back together this morning in the narthex and the sanctuary, and I just couldn't keep myself from greeting everyone because it is so wonderful to be all together here back with you again. I hope you feel the love. Yesterday, after Alvira Gardner's memorial service, I was talking with Cindy Manson about how much we were both looking forward to this regathering Sunday. Eating good food and having fun together, she remarked, two things we do really well. She was right, and our conversation got me thinking about why it is that regathering Sunday works. I mean, besides the fact we all know we're going to eat really delicious food in a little while, why do we look forward to it each year? Why do we anticipate with such eagerness coming back together with one another, sharing a meal and laughter? How is it that we can say right along with the psalmist, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is when kindred dwell together in unity," which is essentially Hebrew for togetherness? It might seem a simple thing. It may even be something that we take for granted since it does each year happen over and over again. But I think it's actually quite extraordinary because it represents a community, a togetherness that is more rare and precious than it might seem. Think about all the layerings of relationship, the shared histories that go into such an event being a source of joy and camaraderie, and that allows us to welcome new faces with warmth and openness because we've experienced it already here. The hugs and smiles on hundreds of Sunday mornings, the myriad calls and cards to check on fellow parishioners, the hours spent talking while preparing the sanctuary for worship or getting coffee hour ready or cleaning out storage spaces, fixing things around the building. Think about the countless sickbed visits, the funerals mourned and the weddings and baptisms celebrated, the babies passed around, the prayers prayed. In an age of increasing distance, the digital kind or the political kind, or take your pick, an increasing distance between, and even isolation among actual human beings, the sense of connectedness brought about through this kind of community is nothing short of an ordinary miracle. Given our tendency as a species toward conflict and division, as we prayed about this morning, it actually is a miracle in any age. Did you notice how the psalmist compares such togetherness to the costly, spice-filled oil used to anoint the highest priests in the land? It's because it was something indeed rare and precious that did not happen all the time. Just in the last week, I've been reminded of those sacred everyday moments that knit us together. Yesterday at Alvira's memorial service, when the family invited those gathered to share a memory from her life, Meredith Schober raised her hand and said that one year Alvira had called her on her birthday, and as Meredith picked up and said, "Hello," Alvira didn't answer with a spoken hello back or this is Alvira or how are you. She just straight went into singing happy birthday to her. And Meredith's face yesterday just lit up yet again with that memory of someone who cared enough to call and delight her on her special day. At Learning to Pray this week, members of our long-running Bible study recalled with tenderness another such sacred moment, the time when that group went to the home of Bible study stalwart Hans Gramm as he lay close to death. And they talked about how an atmosphere thick with holiness surrounded them as they gathered around his bed and sang hymns, reminding him and each other of the powerful love between people brought together not by relatedness or some kind of obligation, but by a mutual desire to seek God. Do you know what people say about Park Avenue? They say things like, "I belong here. I'm so grateful for my church family. I'm so glad there's a place that I can come and talk to people about God, people who get it, people who care about God too." Your all's prayers meant so much to me and my family. Okay, no one actually says your all's prayers because you all are from the north, but as a former inhabitant of the South, I find that to be a very useful plural to talk about us all, the prayers, the collective prayers that lift each other up in difficult and joyous times. 1 year into my repatriation as a New Englander, I can safely add my voice to that chorus. I belong here, and I'm so grateful for my church family. I'm so glad there's a place I get to come and talk about with God with people who want to do the same thing. And yes, your all's prayers for me and my family, but really for each other, for this church, and as you so beautifully demonstrated this morning, for the world, for our neighbors beyond these walls. Those mean so much to me. Do you know what goes into making a community like this continue to tick? What makes it vibrant and alive and not stagnant but thriving? The secret is in this morning's first scripture passage, particularly in the somewhat odd images the psalmist uses to describe togetherness. First, there's that anointing oil that's running down over the beard and collar of Aaron, the first high priest of the Hebrew people. As the main laundry person in our household, this sounds like a nightmare. I could not initially figure out how being together is like a bunch of oil poured on something I just washed that's going to have stain remover treated on it and may never be the same again. But it turns out that the secret of this special oil for anointing was not really so much the fact that it was oil, but the fact that it was mixed in with four precious and rare expensive spices: cinnamon, cassia, cane, and myrrh. They were variously used for everything from perfume to incense to medication to flavoring food. And it may sound strange to say that unity is like a blend of four different spices, but that's what makes it precious. A community built on togetherness, not because we are the same, but because of our very diversity, our different experiences and opinions and gifts. So back to that laundry crisis I mentioned earlier, this varied blend of spiced oil, though quite expensive, was poured so liberally onto Aaron at his anointing that it overflowed onto his beard and collar with no thought of scarcity or waste. And that's how community thrives, it turns out. Not on guarded calculations of how much we'll get back based on how much we're willing to give, but on an outpouring of love, that most precious thing that we have, that gift from God, an outpouring of love for one another. And that brings us to our second curious image from the psalm, comparing togetherness to the dew on Mount Hermon. I don't know about you, but I read that and just thought, I don't get it. I'm not sure why togetherness is like the wetness, the humidity that ends up on your grass, and then if you're wearing sandals to church like I did this morning, you're wondering why your feet are now covered in cold moisture. But again, there's a secret hidden here. It turns out for much of the year in the Holy Land, no rain falls, and the crops and people rely on dew that condenses overnight. We might think of it as a nuisance that has to dry before you can mow the grass, but for them, it's life-sustaining. Mount Hermon in the northern part of the Holy Land gets an abundant coating of dew most nights from humid air coming in over the Mediterranean. And it allows plants to thrive there, whereas the mountains in Zion, in the southern, drier part of the land, receive much less, and plants there struggle to grow. So in years with above-average dew accumulation near Jerusalem, the effect on the dry southern territory is like applying extra fertilizer. You get a bumper crop. So the psalmist is saying that togetherness is like this phenomenon. If Mount Hermon were able to share its overabundance of dew with the dry desert mountains of Jerusalem, think of the abundance that would be, that would sprout up in both places. It's part of the goal of our wise statement to practice that deep connection with God and one another so that we may live as true laborers, belonging to and caring for others as our own, sharing the gifts that we have that others may thrive. We get there not by ignoring our differences or keeping our gifts to ourselves, but by joyfully sharing what we've been given by a God who finds togetherness so important that this God chose community, from the gathered Hebrew people to the disciples sharing life with Jesus to this very congregation, as the place where we receive the blessings of life evermore. Of a life worth living. Blessings of connectedness, of meaning, of purpose and growth and belonging. I belong here. I'm so grateful for my church family. I'm so glad there's a place I can come and talk about God with people who care about that. Your all's prayers mean so much to me. Those words have been said by people brand new to our church community and by people who have been here for years. They've been said by folks of different ages and sexual orientations and races. They have been said by people looking for a place to explore their questions, by people longing for fellowship, by people racked by illness or grief and desiring companions on their journey. The one thing they have in common, all the people who have said these things, is that they have found what they were looking for here, in our community, the blessings of life, with God and with one another forevermore. So on this regathering Sunday, as we undertake the start of a new year with one another, I'm curious to know, what spice do you add to our holy oil? What dew do you have in abundance, the sharing of which would bring you and others a bumper crop of joy? It's in discerning these things and sharing them that we will find ourselves in the presence of a God who loves to show up whenever people are gathered together. Amen.